All right, so this morning we're going to be continuing off of our last discussion. Don't worry if you weren't there, because sum up in about 30 seconds basically what you need to know from that discussion for this discussion, which was that we, in our most recent class, we discussed the point that the Rambam introduces the idea of a Beis Din starting from the time of Eli, that Eli was Mekabel from the Zakenim and Pinchas, and then Shmuel was Mekabel from Eli u Beis Dino, from Eli and his Beis Din. So what seems clear from that is that Eli was not Mekabel from a Beis Din. There was no Beis Din, there was no high court, there was no Sanhedrin from which Eli would have been Mekabel, would have received the Mesoda of the Torah Shebaal Peh. There was no such thing in the generations preceding Eli. It seems that in the entire period of the Shoftim, that there was no Sanhedrin Agadol. And we talked about last time we met the possible explanation for that, the idea that as long as Klal Yisrael were not united under one authority, then there was no such thing as a Beis Din. A Beis Din is both the result of and the maintainer of the Jewish unity, and it's only when you have all of Klal Yisrael under the jurisdiction of one body or of one individual, one Beis Din, that's when you can have a Beis Din Agadol. And as long as it was Yemei Shvot HaShoftim and the Ish Kol Ish Yashar Ein of Yaseh, that everybody was doing their own thing and each Shevet was focused on their own internal business and they were all autonomous in that sense of not being, not having one unified body which was directing them in terms of Torah leadership. So there was no such thing as a Beis Din, and therefore it was only when Elkanah gathered the Jews to come to the Beis HaMikdash to bring Korbanos, and Eli, who was the Kohen Gadol, was also the Gadol Adar, that there became one Beis Din which everyone was Mekabel on themselves, and that became Beis Din Agadol, and therefore Shmuel was Mekabel the Torah from Eli u Beis Dino, but Eli was not Mekabel from a Beis Din because there was no such functioning body which would be called the Beis Din Agadol. So that was what we discussed last week. So what I wanted to talk about this week was what happens to Klal Yisrael in the time of when there is no Beis Din Agadol. How does the Torah Shebaal Peh continue? How does the Torah Shebaal Peh get passed on in a generation or in an era, in a time period, without a Beis Din Agadol? So we'll start off with a question here, and we'll kind of work around this question, but just as a way of bringing out some of the points here, if you look, the Rambam says that Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe. Moshe was Mekabel the whole thing from the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then he said, then the Rambam writes that Afal Pishlo Nichtav Torah Shebaal Peh, that even though the Torah Shebaal Peh is not written, Lamda Moshe, the Rabbeinu Kula Beis Dino, Lushivim Zakenim, he taught the whole thing to his own Beis Dino, Lushivim Zakenim. And then the Rambam says, the first underlined line, he says, the Elazar Upinchas V'Yoshua Shloshdan Kiblu Mimoshe, that Elazar and Pinchas and Yehoshua, all three of them were Mekabel from Moshe. So Elazar, Yehoshua, and Pinchas, all three of them. Then we spoke about why the Rambam speaks out all three of them, why he says three when we can count that they're three, but the basic idea that we mentioned then, that they were all equals in terms of the degree to which they were Mekabel from Moshe Rabbeinu, the degree of their knowledge that came from Moshe Rabbeinu. All three of them were equals in that Kabbalah and receiving the Mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu. So we have Elazar, Pinchas, and Yehoshua, all three of them equally capable in terms of the body of Torah Chebal Peh that they received from Moshe Rabbeinu. Then the next underlined line says that the Rambam writes that Yoshua was put in charge, and then the Rambam writes the Zakenim Rabbim Kibrum Yoshua, that many Zakenim received the Masur from Yoshua. V'kibel Eli min haZakenim umi Pinchas, and Eli received the Masorah from the Zakenim and from Pinchas. Right, Pinchas lived for a very long time. Whether or not you say that Pinchas was Eliyahu, which hopefully in the coming weeks we'll see that it seems clear from the Rambam that the Rambam holds like the opinion that Pinchas was not Eliyahu, but either way, there's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim which makes it clear that there was a person named Pinchas who was still alive, possibly until as late as David HaMelech, at least until the times of Eli or in Shmuel, that there was a Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. So Pinchas lived through the entire generation of the Shoftim, and Pinchas was still alive, and Eli was the Talmud of Pinchas, and therefore Pinchas and Eli received the Masorah from Pinchas. So if we were to somewhat chart the flow of the Torah here, so you would have Moshe, his Talmidim were Yehoshua, Elazar, and Pinchas, and then Yoshua was the Rosh Sanhedrin. He was the one who the Zakenim were Makabel from Yoshua, right? And then we have that branch kind of ends over there, right? Moshe to Yoshua to the Zakenim. And then we would have Moshe to Pinchas to Eli, and that would start a new branch over here. That's probably, if we read these couple lines from the Rambam, how we would picture, how we would map out what's happening. Everyone follow right that we have Moshe receive the Torah. He taught it to Yoshua and Pinchas, and Elazar, but we'll leave him out for a minute. Right, to Yoshua and Pinchas. It says, Zakenim Rabim Kiblu Mi Yoshua. Many Zakenim received the Masorah from Yoshua. And then Eli received the Masorah from Pinchas. So if we were, the flow of the Masorah here would be from Moshe to Yoshua to the Zakenim, and from Moshe to Pinchas to Eli. However, if you turn the page, so the Rambam, well, before you turn the page, just to point it out, the Rambam's next whole column here is going through basically the chain of the Masorah. So, right, you start with Yoshua, and then Eli, and then Pinchas, and then Shmuel received from Eli, and David received from Shmuel, and Achia Shalonu received from David, and so on and so forth. And the Rambam goes through from basically Dar Ladar, from Beis Din to Beis Din, how the Masorah got from Kadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, all the way to the end of the Talmud Bavli. So at the very end, after the Rambam does all that, and throughout the whole thing, there were little nuances and tidbits that the Rambam throws in, he does a very brief recap of that whole Masorah, and he says, if you look at that underlined line there, he says, Nimtza mei Rav Ashi ad Moshe Rabbeinu, from Rav Ashi, who was Sofo Ra, who put together, who compiled and sealed the Talmud Bavli, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Arbaim Ish, there are 40 people, the Elohein, and then the Rambam goes through a list of who they are, Rav Ashi mei Rava, mei Rava, Rav Huna, mei Rav Yochanan ben Shmuel, Rav Rabbeinu Kadosh, right, and he goes through the whole list. If you look at the, right towards the end of the list, he says, Shmuel mei Eli, Eli mi Pinchas, Pinchas mi Yehoshua, Yehoshua mi Moshe. Rabbeinu Rav Anshul, Meshem El Kisa. If you look at the numbering, there's a little funny thing here. They misnumbered it. They have a Kadosh Baruch Hu as person number 40. That's really because they put the lettering off. If you look back at the beginning, where the Aleph is, it says Rav Ashi is number 1, and then they didn't give a number to Rava. Right? It says Rav Ashi may Rava. And then it has Rava's number 2. Rava's really number 3. So the whole numbering is really one off. The Rambam did not pull a trick on you and count the Kadosh Baruch Hu as one of the 40. There are actually 40 people there. Just the in this particular printing of the Rambam that I used, they skipped Rava and then counted the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Alright. But in any case, for our purposes, the Rambam here writes what was not apparent from what the Rambam said earlier, which is that that Pinchas, who did Pinchas receive the Masorah from? From Yehoshua. Right? It says Pinchas from Yehoshua, from Moshe. So, two questions here. The first question is that the Rambam just told us pretty clearly and emphasized the fact that Pinchas received from Moshe Rabbeinu. So Pinchas received the Masorah from Moshe Rabbeinu. What is the Rambam telling us here that Pinchas received from Yehoshua? And second of all, in the Rambam's count of the generations to get from, in the number of transmissions, links in the chain to get from Rav Ashi back to Moshe, the Rambam told us the number 40. Seemingly it's not 40. Seemingly you could skip Yehoshua, because whether or not Pinchas was Makabel from Yehoshua, but Pinchas was also Makabel from Moshe. So if you want to create a line, the shortest line you can, from Rav Ashi to Moshe Rabbeinu, so Yehoshua seems like an unnecessary step in that chain. It might be true that Yehoshua is also Makabel from Moshe, but if you want to get the shortest route from Rav Ashi back to Moshe Rabbeinu, once you get to Pinchas, you can go all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and there should only be necessary 39 steps to get from Rav Ashi back to Moshe Rabbeinu.
It sounded like he still needed to get from the Zakenu. Why did it say by Pinchas he got from Yehoshua with the Zakenu? I didn't feel like he needed something from the Zakenu.
But it didn't say Pinchas got from the Zakenu. It said that Zakenu Rabim got from Yehoshua, and right. Eli got from Pinchas and the Zakenu. Right.
And the Zakenu came from Yehoshua.
Right, so maybe we'll touch on that point about what the role of Zakenim was, but at the end of the day, Pinchas certainly we said was an equal to Yehoshua in terms of his receiving from Moshe Rabbeinu, and Eli did receive from Pinchas, and it says right here that seems like Eli's primary education was from Pinchas, because the Rambam here says Shmuel from Eli from Pinchas, so Eli received from Pinchas. Right, and the Rambam, when he's listing this list of the 40 generations, leaves the Zakenim out of it.
I mean, weren't there Rabbeim passing it down to mining people?
No, yeah, this is certainly not everyone. The Rambam just...
Wouldn't there be major branches? There should be... I don't know what it means to have 40 branch of line. There should be thousands of branches all over. Right? There must have been more than one Gadol Hador besides the people mentioned.
Well, so we'll talk in a minute about who these people, why this list, but kind of like if you have a family tree, you could have, you know, people who, if you go back, you know, 300 years, and you have a person who's you're mapping out their descendants, so you could have, you know, their descendants who are alive today, who are, you know, three generations apart from each other, really, if you count back to, because, you know, the oldest of the oldest of the oldest of the oldest might be considerably older than the youngest son of the youngest of the youngest of the youngest child, right? So the Rambam is just giving us the shortest route, which way has the least generations, because the Rambam is telling us the minimum amount of transmissions of Torah Shebaal Peh necessary to get from Rav Ashi to
so this is one path. I'm saying
this is one path, but this is also the short. This is also seemingly the shortest path. Right. So, for example, if you look up on this page, the third line on the second line on this page that we're on, right? Umigdoli Chachamish Kibul Me Rahu Shmuel. He says among the Chachamim received from Rav and Shmuel were Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Rav Nachman, and Rav Kahana. And now he picks Umigdoli Chachamish Kibul Me Rabbi Yochanan under Rav Bar Bar Chana, Rav Yami, right? He like whole lists. And then he says, so that he has from Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, he lists about seven people. Now he picks one of them and he says, Umichacham Shekibul Mi Rav Huna, Umi Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosef. He picks from those who received from Rav Huna, and from Rav Yehuda he says there was Rav and Rav Yosef. And then he's picked from Rav and Rav Yosef, but so he says, the Rambam explicitly is acknowledging that within the group of Talmidim, many of whom might have been at the status of Mekablim, of those who could testify about the content of the Torah Shebaal Peh, that there's one primary student who he's picking who the next generation was. And maybe just, I wasn't going to get into this, but just to very briefly, and we'll talk more about this later, that this list is a little bit different from the previous list, but it's largely the same. If you go through the names on this list and the names on when the Rambam is going in the opposite order, going down the generations, pretty much the same list. But the list seems to be the list of the leader of the generation in each generation, which the Rambam has that there was a, if you go through in the first list, it's Shmuel and his Beis Din, David and his Beis Din, Achia Shiloni and his Beis Din, and Eliyahu and his Beis Din, and the whole way down. So, seems to be the Rambam is giving you the Rosh Sanhedrin, the person who was in charge of the Beis Din, when there was a Beis Din. And what we're going to hope to talk about now is also telling you the person who was the leader when there wasn't a Beis Din. And what exactly does it mean to be the leader when there wasn't a Beis Din? So so we could focus, maybe we could try and work through Pinchas, because Pinchas basically spanned the entire period between Yehoshua and Eli when there was no Beis Din. Pinchas did not have a Beis Din from which Eli was Mekabel, as we saw, that Eli did not receive the Masorah from Pinchas and his Beis Din. He received it from Pinchas and the Zakenim, or the Zakenim and Pinchas. So, the Rambam here is listing the author, is giving the pedigree of the Masorah in terms of who was the primary Mekabel, who was the person who was the most qualified in terms of knowledge of the Torah Shebaal Peh, just like we said that there were that the methodology of transmitting the Torah Shebaal Peh was that there were individuals in every generation who were in a different league than just, you know, Talmidei Chachamim, but they were those who could testify about the entire Torah Shebaal Peh. Kach Kibati, they could say with definitive authority, this is what the Masorah says, and at that point, says the Rambam, Nistavka Pol Vikuach, that would be the end of the argument, that would be the end of the discussion. If someone who had the authority to say, someone who was of that level of qualification and was known to be, we talked briefly about it, maybe at some point we'll get back to exactly who qualified for that, but someone who was on the level to say this is the Masorah, and then that would be the end of the discussion. That's they are the authoritative source of what the Torah Shebaal Peh says.
Which one was a good old door?
So not, and it wasn't necessarily one in each generation. As we saw, there was Pinchas, Elazar, and Yehoshua. The Rambam here lists that there were several Talmidim of Rav and Shmuel, several Talmidim of Rav Huna, but the Rambam is listing the Gadol of the Mekablim, the person who was the Gadol Hadar, the one person who was the most qualified to say about the entire Torah, Kach Kibalti. So the Rambam is listing, how do you get back from Rav Ashi back to Moshe Rabbeinu? That's what this list is, and that's why there's 40 people. In the steps of transmission from one generation to the next, to get to in the Masorah of, when you get to that one person passed the Torah on to one next person who was the leader of the following generation, the Rambam is listing 40 steps. But that leaves us with our question of why is Yehoshua on the list? We understand Yehoshua was the Gadol Hador Bedoro, and he was the Rosh Sanhedrin, but the fact that Pinchas is a direct line from Moshe Rabbeinu to Eli seems to leave out the necessity for Yehoshua to be a step in the chain. And so the idea here seems to be, and this will hope to understand what exactly was going on with the Torah Shebaal Peh in a time when there was no Sanhedrin, that the Rambam understands that the nature of the Torah Shebaal Peh is that, as we mentioned, Torah Shebaal Peh is in the custody of the Sanhedrin. The Torah gives the authority of Alisa Min HaMakamahu Ki Mitzion Teitze Torah, right? Misham Yotze Horal Yisrael, that the Sanhedrin that sat in Lishkas Hagadus, the Sanhedrin Agadol, that they have the authority over the custody and the authority over the Torah Shebaal Peh, and they were able to create new dinim. The Rambam says in several places that using the Yud Gimel Midos, the Sanhedrin could create drashas and could create dinim de'oraisa that did not exist up until then. Muhammad had the ability to make Xeros, which were binding upon all of Khalisal, and whatever the Sanhedrin Agadol agreed upon and did, and the Rosh Sanhedrin brought out to the Rabbim, that became the definition of Torah Shebaal Peh. And as we mentioned, there was in the Rambam's view, there's a figure in every generation who is Omid Tachas Moshe Rabbeinu. He stands in place, the representative of the role of Moshe Rabbeinu in that generation. And the Torah Shebichsav is Mikan Shum Navi Rasha El Chavish Davar. As soon as Moshe Rabbeinu Zos the Torah, this is the Torah, and that's the end of Torah Shebichsav, and there's nothing more that can be added on to Chumash. But the Torah Shebaal Peh is a living document. The Torah Shebaal Peh is something which the dinim that come out of Torah Shebaal Peh and the dinim which are a part of Torah Shebaal Peh is something which, while it is at all times a defined, finite body of knowledge, can be added onto. It can be increased, and the Beis Din Agadol of every generation, they defined what Torah Shebaal Peh was, and the Torah Shebaal Peh that they taught to the next generation, that is Torah Shebaal Peh. They are the source and the custodians of Torah Shebaal Peh from generation to generation, and therefore the way in which the Rosh Sanhedrin taught the Torah Shebaal Peh, that defined what Torah Shebaal Peh was. And according to the way the Rambam explains, that the obligation of Talmud Torah was defined by the expressions and the methodology of the teaching of the Rosh Sanhedrin. That was, Torah Shebaal Peh is not just there's the list of things that got written down and the list of things that didn't qualify to get written down. Torah Shebaal Peh is by definition meant to be dynamic. It is meant to be something which is defined by the generation and by the Torah leadership of the generation. And therefore it's something which is, by definition, goes through Beis Din Agadol. And in the Rambam's understanding, it is not just that the Beis Din Agadol happens to be the people most responsible when they're around, but the definition of Torah Shebaal Peh is that it goes from one Beis Din to the next Beis Din. And therefore, Pinchas, even though he received the Masorah from Moshe Rabbeinu and was equally qualified as Yehoshua, in terms of his knowledge and understanding and mastery of Torah Shebaal Peh, and Pinchas would be believed to say Kach Kibalti as much as Yehoshua, if he said this is the Masorah, they would accept his testimony, and that would be the end of the discussion. But Pinchas cannot be a valid link in the continuity of, in bringing the Torah Shebaal Peh from one generation to the next, if not that he is a link from one Beis Din to the next Beis Din. So whichever Beis Din was the... What?
So that's the Zakenim.
Well, so it's Yehoshua.
Yeah, but that's why I think it said Eli learned from Pinchas and the Zakenim.
Well, so we'll get to that in a minute, but the Zakenim also, there was no Beis Din... What? They came from Yehoshua also, but there was no Beis Din Agadol in that time. So if there was no Beis Din Agadol in that time, so we'll get to exactly what happened in that time in a moment, but in order for the Kabbalah of Torah Shebaal Peh to be valid for the next generation, it had to be a hemshech, it had to be a continuation of the Torah as was taught by the previous Beis Din. That Torah has to go from the definition of Torah Shebaal Peh in every generation is what the Beis Din Agadol taught. So at the time at which Yehoshua taught the Torah Shebaal Peh in the Tzura, in the form in which it was in the Beis Din of Yehoshua, that becomes the definition of Torah Shebaal Peh. And if Pinchas is taking his Masorah from Moshe, then he's not continuing the Masorah of Torah Shebaal Peh. He has to be, even though there's no new information he's going to learn from Yehoshua, but if he's not Mekabel, the Torah Shebaal Peh that the Beis Din of Yehoshua is giving over, then he's not a valid next link of the chain. And therefore, when Eli was Mekabel from Pinchas, the only reason that the Beis Din of Eli is a valid Beis Din, is qualified to be the Beis Din Agadol, and Eli can be the Rosh Sanhedrin and the Omid Tachas Moshe Rabbeinu is only because Pinchas received from Yoshua. Since Pinchas got the Kabbalah, received the Masorah from Yoshua, therefore when Pinchas teaches it to Eli, Eli is now following in the link of that Masorah, and Eli is now a continuation through Pinchas from Yehoshua, from the Beis Din of Yoshua. Therefore, the Masorah from Moshe to Rav Ashi, in the way the Rambam is expressing it, is not just a practical list of how many people does it take, how many people were there in this game of telephone. That's not what the Rambam is counting. The Rambam is counting the steps through which the Torah Shebaal Peh went to get from Moshe Rabbeinu to Rav Ashi. How many links are there in the Masorah of Torah Shebaal Peh from one Beis Din to the next, in the link of it going through the form of each Beis Din to the next? How many steps are in that? And that requires Moshe gave the Torah over to Yoshua. Yoshua was the Rosh Sanhedrin. He was the only Tachas Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore, by the time, in the, that time, Yoshua defined what Torah Shebaal Peh is to be given over to the next generation. Pinchas can only be receiving the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is meant to be given to the next generation, if he's gotten that Masorah from Yoshua.
Sorry, it's still allowed saying that he received, was one of the three who received it directly from Moshe Rabbeinu.
He did. In terms of the information and the knowledge of Torah Shebaal Peh, he received it from Moshe Rabbeinu. But in terms of the smich, in terms of the tzura, of the form of the Torah Shebaal Peh, Yoshua was the one appointed by Moshe Rabbeinu to be the Rosh Sanhedrin, and therefore the Torah that Yoshua taught, and the way, the form of the Torah Shebaal Peh as taught by Yoshua, and the dinim, the halachas, that the Beis Din of Yoshua were mechadesh through the Yud Gimel Midos, that becomes the definition of what Torah Shebaal Peh is for that generation. And therefore, even though Pinchas received the information from Moshe, but he can only receive the Masorah of the way in which Torah Shebaal Peh is meant to be transmitted to the next generation from Yehoshua. Right? He was Mekabel from Moshe, but he can only be a link in the Masorah of Torah Shebaal Peh if he receives it from the most recent Beis Din. And had there been, it happens to be Pinchas lived from Yoshua till Eli, he spanned that gap. Had it been that Pinchas had not lived that whole time, the only person who would be valid to give over that Masorah would be someone who was Mekabel it from Pinchas, or from someone who received it from Yoshua. If the Torah did not go through Yoshua, it would have to be from Yoshua to Pinchas to whoever else, until the point when the next Beis Din HaGadol comes up, that Beis Din HaGadol will only qualify to be a Beis Din HaGadol, and the leader of that Beis Din is only the Omid Tachas Moshe Rabbeinu, the one who's standing in place of Moshe Rabbeinu, if that Masorah traces its roots back to the previous existing Beis Din. So now the question that we have to deal with, or the question, not deal with, but maybe just explain, clarify, is what happens to the Torah? What is the nature and the role of the Torah Shebaal Peh in a time when there is no Sanhedrin? So we understand that the Torah is being kept and protected and maintained from one Beis Din HaGadol to the next, and the Beis Din HaGadol, their job is to be the Misham Yotza Haral Yisrael, those who teach Torah to Klal Yisrael, and they have the ability to be Mechadesh, new Dinim, and to be Koveya, to establish the Tzura through which Torah Shebaal Peh is learned. So what was the role of Yehoshua? Or as we'll see eventually, that at a certain point in the Rambam's list, there was no more Sanhedrin HaGadol. Already by the time, certainly, after Korban Bayis Sheni, there was no Sanhedrin sitting in the Lishkas HaGazus, and even slightly before that, so after a time when there was no Beis Din HaGadol, so what was the role of, who was the leader, who was the person who gave over the Masorah, and what was his role in those generations? So the way the Rambam understands that the role of the Beis Din HaGadol was that they defined the Tzura, the form of Torah Shebaal Peh, the way in which it was learned and the way in which it was taught, the expressions through which Torah was given over. Someone who, let's talk about Pinchas, who received the Masorah from Yehoshua, his job was to be, to make sure that the person who received the Torah after him was receiving the Torah of Yehoshua. So therefore, the job of Pinchas was, he was obviously in knowing the Torah better than anyone else who was alive, to answer everyone's questions, and you know, if anyone had a shiloh, if anyone had something that needed to be clarified, so Pinchas could be the one to answer shilohs. Possibly, I'm not sure about this, Pinchas could have made drashas from the Yud Gimel Midos, I don't know about that, but anything that Pinchas would teach or would say does not become part of Torah Shebaal Peh. When Pinchas gave over Torah Shebaal Peh to the next generation, what did he teach? He taught what he received from Yehoshua. Torah Shebaal Peh was defined by the Beis Din HaGadol. If there was no Beis Din HaGadol, Torah Shebaal Peh remains defined as it was from the previous Beis Din HaGadol. There is still something we discussed in our very first class on this topic, that there, the Rambam understands there's something called Torah Shebaal Peh and there's something else called Gemara or Talmud, which can be the understanding of dinim, or even sometimes dinim, which are not part of Torah Shebaal Peh, which are not canonized. You have every person, every Jew has an obligation to learn, to know all of Torah Shebaal Peh, because there's a defined body of knowledge, which is Torah Shebaal Peh, which is the halachas are, which so how to say this? They're the halachas which encapsulate how to carry out the Torah. And that is a defined body of knowledge as defined by the Beis Din HaGadol. And the Beis Din HaGadol is the one that has the ability and the authority to determine the form of that. They're the ones who teach it. And the role of Pinchas, who was not in the Sanhedrin, Pinchas was certainly qualified, had there been a Beis Din in his time, he would have been the Rosh Sanhedrin. But the fact that there was no Beis Din means that Pinchas did not have the position of Rosh Sanhedrin, and he was therefore not the Omid Tachas Moshe Rabbeinu. It was not in his purview, it was not in his authority to define the Torah Shebaal Peh. Pinchas did not have the ability to establish what the Torah is which should be given over to the next generation. Pinchas' job was to make sure that the next generation receives the same Torah, Shebaal Peh, as it has been defined by the Beis Din HaGadol. It is only the next Beis Din HaGadol which has the ability, which was given the authority by the Torah to define Torah Shebaal Peh, which has the ability to decide how they will be teaching Torah Shebaal Peh and how they will be giving it over to the next generation. And what the Rosh Sanhedrin of the next Beis Din HaGadol teaches, that will be defined as Torah Shebaal Peh. That will be the Torah Hayotzei L'Rabim. That will be the Torah which goes out to Klal Yisrael. But Pinchas, as great as he was, even if he was possibly greater than Eli, does not have the position given by the Torah to define Torah Shebitzav. He is only able to transfer Torah Shebitzav. Torah Shebaal Peh. He does not have the ability to define Torah Shebaal Peh. He only has the responsibility to transfer Torah Shebaal Peh from the Beis Din of Yehoshua to the next generation until such time as there is a Beis Din HaGadol. And therefore, Pinchas' job is to teach the Torah of Yehoshua in the way that Yehoshua taught it. The expressions and the methodology of the teaching of Yehoshua, that was the way that Torah Shebaal Peh had been defined, and that was therefore the tzura of limud that Pinchas was obligated from midin Torah to teach the Torah Shebaal Peh to the next generation. I just want to before I move on, the Pinchas therefore had to learn the Torah from Yehoshua. Pinchas had to become a Talmud of Yahushua and learn the Torah Shebaal Peh as it was taught from Yahushua. This is not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Pinchas Mitzad, from the perspective of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, did not have an obligation to learn the Torah from Yahushua. Having learned Kol HaTorah Kula from Moshe Rabbeinu, Pinchas knew Kol HaTorah Kula and had no more mitzvah to learn the Torah from Yahushua because of a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. As we mentioned, Pinchas had the same authority as Yahushua to say Kach Kibalti, to say this is the Masorah that I received, and to be believed. He knew his knowledge of Torah was not something that was lacking because of not having received the Masorah from Yahushua. What was Mechayev, what obligated Pinchas to become a Talmud of Yahushua, was not a halacha in Talmud Torah, but was a halacha in Mesira Satorah and Hamshacha Satorah. The din of the transmission of Torah Shebaal Peh, that's what required Pinchas to learn from Yahushua, because it was not the content of the Torah Shebaal Peh which Pinchas needed to learn from Yahushua, and that's why he had no mitzvah of Talmud Torah to learn from Yahushua, but it was the tzura, it was the form of Torah Shebaal Peh which Pinchas needed to learn from Yahushua, and the form, the shape, the methodology of Torah Shebaal Peh, that is something which Pinchas needed to learn specifically from Yahushua. That is something which is a halakha in Mesiras HaTorah, not in Talmud Torah, but in the transmission of the Torah, is that the specific form of Torah Shebaal Peh is something that the Beis Din HaGadol has the ability to define. You look like you were about to ask something.
Two things. You were going to say the difference between Gemara and Torah Shebaal Peh. So we're trying to say that Pinchas was Mechadish. Like Gemara, just the teaching? We talked about it a few times ago.
Right.
Was the teaching relevant to that generation?
So
was able to do? Or?
So Gemara basically, in a very broad strokes, means anything which is not Torah Shebichsav, which is not part of Torah Shebaal Peh, meaning anything which is not an example, the Rambam says that he is giving you all of Torah Shebaal Peh, and if you want to know Torah Shebaal Peh, you don't need to look at the Talmud, just look at the Rambam, because the Rambam is taking all of the everything which is not written down, and taking out that from everything which is not written down, the bottom line halacha, how do you practice the Torah, that's Torah Shebaal Peh. And that is what the Rambam is writing in the Yad HaChazakah, is how do you perform, how do you take the Torah from the Torah Shebichsav into the performance of the mitzvahs, which is why the Rambam references that Torah is Torah Shebichsav, HaTorah VeHaMitzvah, Torah is the Torah Shebichsav, and Mitzvah is the Torah Shebaal Peh, because the point of the Torah Shebaal Peh is how you perform the Torah Shebichsav, is the mitzvah, the definition of Torah Shebichsav is the application, I'm sorry, that definition of Torah Shebaal Peh is the application of Torah Shebichsav. You have plenty of other things, just on a very basic level, things like Agadita, which can be part of Torah Shebaal Peh, but they're not, they can be part of the oral tradition, but they're not Torah Shebaal Peh, because they're not part of how do I practice the Torah. And then you can have halachic things, which are not part of Torah Shebaal Peh. You can have the entire discussion about whether or not Yeush Shalomidas Have Yeush Shalom Have Yeush. If a person has unconscious decision that he's no longer going to retrieve his lost object, does that qualify as Yeush or not qualify as Yeush? And there's a din in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says what the halacha is. The rationale behind the halacha, you go through the sugya, both opinions justify their position within the Mishnah. There are certain nafkaminas between the two, but at the end of the day, they end up being very, very, very small. But at the end of the day, the rationale behind, you know, which psukim how do we darshan the psukim, which psukim are we darshaning, which is it because of this shita or that shita, all of that is part of Talmud, is part of Gemara. That's not Torah Shebaal Peh, and a person has a mitzvah to learn that, but is not obligated to know it. The Rambam says a person has to review Torah Shebaal Peh and make sure that they know it. You're not allowed to forget it. Gemara, the whole point of Gemara is svaras. That's the whole point is that it's you, you're going through things to understand things. You're not necessarily the point is the understanding, not the knowledge. And therefore,
besides the Rambam, what is the Tarsh?
What?
Where would you go to learn the Tarsh besides the Rambam?
So that's part of what the Rambam wrote a letter to one of his students and said that the reason that he was writing the Yad HaZakah is he felt that it was a deficiency that the Jewish people did not have one place to go to learn the Torah Shebaal Peh. Before Chasimus HaShas, before the end of the Talmud, where you got Torah Shebaal Peh from, was from the Rosh Sanhedrin. Even if he wasn't necessarily in the Lishkas of Gazas with the din of Sanhedrin Agabal, but he was still, you know, the leader of the generation. There was actually a machlokis, I don't remember if I mentioned this or not, whether or not the Rosh Yeshiva in Babel was still had a din of a Rosh Sanhedrin. There were some of the Gaonim and even post-Gaonic leaders in Babel who held that they had the halakhic status of a Rosh Sanhedrin, even if they didn't have the ability to, you know, do many of the things that a Sanhedrin had the ability to do, because they weren't in Yerushalayim, they didn't have a Sanhedrin of Smuchin and all of these things, but they still had the din of a Sanhedrin in terms of being the authoritative codifiers of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the Rambam, the Ramban disagreed with him, but and as long as you were in the time of the Gemara, if you wanted to know where you went for Torah Shebaal Peh, you went to the Sanhedrin. There were people who knew it all. And it was meant to be not written down. Until the state of the Jewish people got to such a point that it had to be written down in order that it not be lost, which we discussed in earlier shiur, there wasn't supposed to be a handbook of Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh was meant to be each generation had its leaders who taught the Torah Shebaal Peh, and if you wanted to know what Torah Shebaal Peh was, you went to Hashofit Navi Asher Yeh Bayamim Haheim. You went to the person in your generation. It was meant to be that there was a living, breathing person who you spoke to, who told you how the Torah is meant to be understood.
But today, Yad HaZakah, is that the only Torah Shebaal Peh?
We don't follow
it. The Rambam held, you know, this was his shitas about, there were certainly those who argued on the Rambam, but arguably the tour is the same thing. The tour was also meant to be, now the tour was not as extensive as the Rambam, because the Rambam was on what he understood the entirety of Torah, so the Rambam has the halakhas of Korbanos and Tumah and Tahara and all of these things, which the tour does not address, but the tour is his own shita of all of halakha as is practiced today, and the Shulchan Aruch is his opinions on
the Rambam and everything. Like, right. Rambam's understanding of it is not necessarily
But the idea of the Rambam, meaning that the concept of the Rambam was that there is one conclusion, l'halacha, which is the Torah Shebaal Peh. How the Rambam understood the conclusion to be, it might be different than how other Rishonim understood it to be, right? Which can create a world of differences in the halacha by halacha analysis, the amount of machloksim they might have, but at the end of the day, the system which the Rambam is working with, so is basically.
I'm sorry to ask a question for you. If you wanted to kind of mitzvah Torah Shebaal Peh, where would you go?
If you wanted to,
right now,
What do you mean by if you wanted to know Kol HaTorah of
Yossi, the mitzvah of learning Torah Shebaal Peh?
Learning Torah Shebaal Peh. So it's a good question because there are, you know, the question of what is defined as Torah Shebaal Peh is kind of what the today's right. Yeah, today the general thing would be the Shulchan Aruch. But generally, in Sephardi halakha, they'll always talk about that they were Mekabel Maran, which is they refer to Shulchan Aruch as Maran. That is the accepted halakha, and therefore that's the. But we'll see when we get later, because the Rambam talks about the end of the Talmud. When you get to the end of the Talmud, that defining what Torah Shebaal Peh is at that point becomes, you'll learn there's let's say, an entire sif, or a few sifim in Shulchan Aruch, about the halachas of Cheskas Gimel Shanim in a shul, in a seat in shul. There's no Gemara about that. It's application of dinim that you find in the Gemara, but there's no Gemara about those halachas. That's not Torah Shabbat Peh. That's binding halacha. But that's not part of the mitzvah of Torah Shabbat Peh, because it's not the Torah which was defined by the Beis Din Gadol. It's not the Torah defined by the Sanhedrin. It's not found in, it's not part of Chasimus HaShas. Talmud Bavli is the definitive end of Torah Shabbat Peh. And therefore, if you want to know all of Torah Shabbat Peh, so the Rambam is attempting, you might even say that the Rif, in a certain sense, did the same thing, to cut out everything that isn't Torah Shabbat Peh. But all of Torah Shabbat Peh is in the Talmud. So a person who wants to, there are important distinctions. Do I have to remember this? Do I have to make sure I is it my responsibility to have all of this information? So that's going to depend on if it's Torah Shabbat Peh or Gemara, but there are two distinct bodies.
According to this logic, which we don't seem to follow in our yeshivas, but it should be a priority to first learn the halachic, the Shulchan Aruch and the halachic aspects of the Gemara, and then to learn the Agadata. But the average yeshiva boy doesn't know all Torah Shabbat Peh, but will spend all this time in Yevamos learning all the background or whatever. So it seems to, we don't follow that, I guess. If you have to prioritize,
well, there's two things.
We spend more time learning the non-Torah Shabbat Peh aspects of the Gemara, because we don't focus on it.
So I'm going to agree with you partially, but the important distinction. A person has the obligation over his lifetime to learn all of Torah Shabbat Peh. So,
which how many people do
no,
that?
No, so that's what I'm going to agree partially to. The fact that until a person is 25 years old, learning in yeshiva, or however old they are learning in yeshiva, that they're learning, you know, in a certain way in which is meant to give them a derech of how to learn, that I don't have such a problem with. The fact that nobody tells them, you know, when they turn 26, like, by the way, you know, there's more than just, you know, Baba Basra, that might be a problem. A person, there is an obligation, there is a Torah Shabbat Peh, which a person has an obligation to know all of. The fact that in yeshivas, they're attempting to give you a framework through which you should be able to learn it all. For example, remember, I've had this discussion with fellow Talmidim of my Rebbe, Reb Tzvi Berkowitz. After you go through a sugyo with Reb Tzvi, and you open the Shulchan Aruch, suddenly you understand how the Shulchan Aruch works so much better if you understood how the sugya came from the Gemara through the Rishonim to the Shulchan Aruch. If you understand what the Rishonim were doing with the Gemara, as opposed to just there's a Gemara and then there's a Rishonim, and then, but if you understand how, which was basically what Reb Tzvi's shir was about, was like how what the Rishonim were dealing with in the Gemara. So now all of a sudden you understand when you open the Shulchan Aruch, you have kind of the tools to understand everything that's happening. Now it could be that there should be, you know, afterwards, you know, you're supposed to do the same thing with Maseches Sukkah, by the way, not just with Maseches Yevamos.
Right. So, but that framework is lost when you're out of yeshiva. So now most of us don't have, there's no more framework for learning Torah Shabbat Peh. Once the guy's out of yeshiva at 25, 26, he's most likely never going to learn all of Torah Shabbat Peh. I don't even go through all Shulchan Aruch even. Like, I don't know.
Right, so it's
there's no framework for that anymore.
Right.
Shul's in the, right? Like, that's lost. That's never happened.
Right, so that's
right. For most people here, right?
Right, so the question is,
no, but there's no framework in the community or in Shul's,
right,
or, I don't know. Like, if that's so critical, Kol should start a framework for getting through all Torah Shabbat.
I'm saying, basically saying, why are we doing this? Why aren't we doing Shulchan Aruch?
No, why? But in addition, I'm saying, why is there no framework in a community? If everybody needs to know it, even those who don't know how to learn, you need to know the halacha, right?
Yeah.
And let's say the person didn't go to yeshiva, they still need to know that. So I would think a community should have a framework for everybody to get to know all Torah Shabbat Peh. However that framework is, what the Shulchan Aruch,
there are things like that, but I think
everything as an
entirety. There are things which are attempts to do that, but I think when we go through and we see more about what happens to Torah at the end of the era of the Talmud, that some of the issues involved here will become a little bit more acute, and you'll see that it's not so simple. But I mean, at the end of the day, the bottom line is there's no arguing with the fact that it's a post facto, it's a bidyevit situation to be in a post Talmud mode of Torah Shabbat Peh. Torah Shabbat Peh was never meant to be a book that you open that you learn. It was meant to be that a person was living Torah Shabbat Peh, and a person knew all of Torah Shabbat Peh because they had a Rebbe who there was in, whether or not you were, whatever you were doing in life, you had someone who was an example of Kolokarakula. And where you know,
next year's Kolo project, let us know Kolotor.
That's
Kolo
right.
All Torch about that.
Kolotor.
Everything we need to know to say we don't. Then we can have the
conversation. In 1 hour a week. It's a
that's your challenge.
All right.